In this week's book, we learn to count to 10. Well, 5. And then we skip to 10, but 2 groups of 10. So, 20? Also, the police get involved? It's the Berenstain Bears Go Up and Down! Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week, we have in our possession what has to have been the easiest book in the history of the Berenstain Bears to have illustrated. It consists almost entirely of one locational image that never changes perspective and multiple bear cubs that all look exactly the same. I mean, there's some business at the end, but most of this book is a static shot of 2 identical staircases, which, because they are duplications of the same image, is actually a drawing of one staircase. So as I said up top, this is the Berenstain Bears Go Up and Down from 1999. Now, this is a step into reading book, step 1 if you're interested, but it also says right on the title page that it is a, quote, math reader, which seems like a lot of weight for a step 1 book to have to haul around. Also, is it a math reader? Is there any math involved beyond the obvious numerical sequencing? The counting of 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5? Also, did we need to call the cops? Now, before I get into the meat of the story, I need to also point out that I am reading this story from a collection called The Berenstain Bears, Tales from Bear Country. This is a collection that was published in 2011, that contains a number of step into reading stories. I picked it up because it has in it a copy of last week's book, The Berenstain Bears by the Sea, and I wanted to find out once and for all if the copy of the book I read was missing a few pages at the beginning, and the answer to that is no. No, it wasn't. The story just starts mid-thought, I guess. I still believe in my heart of hearts there's more to it than they're letting on, but I guess the only way I'll ever know is if Mike Berenstain pulls up the original drafts from out of the archives and takes a look. So, if anyone out there has access to the archives, could you take a look for me? I've been doing this for so, so long. Anyway, the Berenstain Bears Go Up and Down. Berenstain Bears Go Up and Down is about an escalator. That's it. That's really it. It's about an escalator. Okay, I lied. It's about a pair of escalators, but you'd be forgiven for not immediately realizing that because they are drawn separately from one another and divided by a page crease, and it looks, for a while, like it's a single escalator that keeps changing direction, which, I'm not sure if you know this, is not how an escalator functions. Also, as a very small child, you might not understand what an escalator is or does, and this book in no way explains what is happening. So if you're a small child with no working knowledge of escalators, or a 43-year-old man who has trouble figuring out what is happening in books written for 4-year-olds, you might be confused for, let's face it, like 80% of this book. So anyway, this book, Berenstain Bears Go Up and Down, this book is about a pair of escalators and the abuse they incur at the hands, or the feet, of a group of identically appareled bear cubs. These cubs, it must be noted, are each adorned with a signature Berenstain Bears headband trademark symbol. Some of these headbands are tied in the back with a bow, which seems to indicate, I guess, that the cub wearing that headband is a female cub? We've never seen this in practice, but it would look like the male cubs are wearing regular circular headbands while the girls' headbands are tied in the back, or at least adorned with a bow. I guess they could just have the bow attached to the back, but this is weird because traditionally, headbands in bear country are accoutrement of female cubs. Not always, but we've never seen them with gender signifiers before. So, first time for everything, I guess. Now, when I say that the cubs are all identically dressed, I need to amend that. The cubs' outfits are structurally the same. They are each wearing matching shirts and trousers with yellow collars and yellow, like a bottom, like fringe or whatever on the shirt. However, half of the cubs are in blue outfits and half are in red. They all have the yellow collars and the yellow trim, but half of them are blue, half of them are red, they're maybe tracksuits, I guess? Maybe they are? The details in the book are vague. The Cubs are consistently framed in wide shots, so we never get a good hard look at their shirts. We can't really see any fine detail around the collar. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say these are tracksuits. It's all Cubs in blue and red tracksuits. Also, the escalators in question, although identical, are labeled up and down by signs hanging either in the foreground. It's hard to tell if they're in the foreground or if they're in like the middle background. The reason it's hard to tell is because distance and perspective are tricky in this book. Again, it's a static shot of two escalators. Things come toward the reader and you can't really gauge any depth. But it's understandable to be confused as to whether these actually are escalators because of the nature of static images. A picture of an escalator, particularly a simple cartoon picture of an escalator, is unfortunately almost indistinguishable from a simple cartoon picture of a staircase. Even the up and down signs are useless, as they could simply be guides to help, you know, foot traffic. We see the Cubs standing on them holding both rails, which is very escalator-like behavior, but there really isn't much else to aid us in getting a real sense of smooth motion. And that's what escalators are all about, smooth motion. So I'm sorry, I'm getting lost in the details here. I know what you really came here for. And what you came here for is, of course, the history of the escalator. Bum, bum, bum. Escalators, or revolving stairs, were originally patented in 1859 in Massachusetts. But those were steam-powered, which, I don't know, that seems like more trouble than it's probably worth. So in 1892, this guy named Jesse Reno patented a new version of what we think of as an escalator that he used as a ride in Coney Island. And I love the fact that in 1895, people would wait in line in the Coney Island sun in the middle of the summer to ride an escalator. You can see photos of it. You can get online. Just get online and type Coney Island escalator 1895, and you will see that it is just people riding an escalator, and not a steep escalator either. This thing is at a 25-degree angle, which is pretty shallow, and I am sure that they were afraid that, I don't know, people would have massive coronaries or their necks would spontaneously break or something if it was at a sharper angle, and they had to make room for all those bustles and parasols, and it only goes up to a landing on a slightly higher platform. It goes up to a 7-foot platform. It's not even a story up. You take a very, very non-graded escalator up a few feet and you get off and you're like, heck yeah, I'm on Coney Island. Yeah, I'm on Coney Island, baby. I rode the escalator. I rode that escalator up. I'm riding that escalator down. And if you look at all these patents, you can just get online and look at like escalator patents from the 19th century. There are escalators. They all kind of look like escalators, but there are escalators that, like, you sit down on and you straddle. Like, some of the directions, it's like a guy in, like, a bowler hat with, like, a fine mustache and like a jacket and, like, a vest. And he's, like, straddling, like, this metal escalator, kind of riding it up. It's nuts. Like, people just did not have a kind of, like, again, we're used to escalators. But in any case, so this guy, Jesse Reno, he gets famous for his Coney Island escalator. And he ends up installing one in the Brooklyn Bridge. And that was kind of like opened the floodgates for like people were just like, oh my gosh, like moving stairs, escalates. But so there's this other guy, George Seeberger. And he also invents an escalator around the same time that he called he called it the elevator, which, I mean, come on, dude. Don't call your escalator the elevator. He called it the elevator. Okay, and so eventually, because there's all this, there's all this legal mumbo jumbo, all this kind of stuff goes legal twists and turns. People are inventing escalators left and right, yada, yada, yada. So Otis Elevators, which is a company, not a guy. Otis Elevator, which would be awesome. It would be awesome if Otis Elevator was named for a guy named Otis Elevator, but it was like a canning business or something. Otis Elevator ends up with the patents to like a few different kinds of escalators. They're kind of like, the escalators get bought by different companies, and eventually Otis like owns like a few, buys out a few of these companies, ends up owning a bunch of patents for different escalators, fixes up the design into pretty much what we're familiar with today, and voila, They start installing them in department stores all over the world, and pieces are just, different companies start developing escalators. I don't know how that works patent wise, but like soon different companies are competing. If you go into the history of escalators, and believe me, I've gone into the history of escalators. You go into the history of escalators, it's very dense and it's very confusing. Like there's so many different companies competing with each other. These things start popping up all over the world. But the big thing happens in 1950. Something interesting occurs. So escalator up to that point belonged to Otis. Like the word escalator, it was capital E escalator. It was a brand name, the Otis escalator. But what happened was Otis hadn't done its due diligence in protecting that. Like it had been referring to, so if you're not familiar with the way brand names work, it's like Band-Aid or Band-Aid, Xerox, things like that. Those are the names of particular brands of things. And the companies have to work very hard to make sure that those terms don't fall into like legally like casual parlance. You have to be careful that like that's why companies sue all the time for like their names being used in things. Not because they're just like greedy, although they are, but because they want to make sure that other companies don't have a leg to stand on if they try to use their term. So what happened is Otis was using escalator as a generic term in their own writings. They weren't saying like the Otis capital E escalator registered mark. They were just saying our escalators just with a lowercase e. And that it was a pretty big deal. And what ended up happening was that the U.S. Patent Office in 1950 ruled that escalator was now a generic term because Otis hadn't done its work. And now all moving stairways could legally be referred to as escalators. Back to the book. So what happens in the book is this. Here's the plot. Here's the story of the Berenstain Bears go up and down. A bear cub dressed in blue goes up the up escalator. Then two bear cubs dressed in red come down the down escalator. Then three blue go up, four red come down. Then one red comes down the up escalator, and two blue go up the down. Three red go down the up, four blue go up the down. Now, I guess this is where math comes into play, because at this point, if you're counting, that means that 10 blue bear cubs are on the top floor and 10 red bear cubs are on the bottom, and they are. And they've all thrown themselves into like big piles of bear cubs on the floor. Now, before we go any further, remember, the last things these bear cubs did was go up the down and down the up. Before we go any further, we need to discuss escalator etiquette. First, I have to acknowledge that I cannot spell etiquette, and I always have to look it up. Second, there is a Wikipedia page dedicated to escalator etiquette. It's extraordinarily short, and I don't know why it's not folded into the main escalator page. Also, it's focused entirely on whether or not there are de facto designated areas of the escalator for standing and passing, or if that's a regional thing or what. It's pointless. I don't understand why it exists. It's mostly just signs from around the world showing you, did you have to hold a child's hand on an escalator? No bags on escalators. Please stand on this side of an escalator. There is a whole Wikipedia page devoted to this. And in any case, that's not the etiquette I'm worried about. What I'm concerned about is going up a down escalator and vice versa. Extensive searching on these internets revealed a few things. One, people love making videos of their friends doing this. It's funny, I guess. It inconveniences people going in the correct direction. Also, are these people called passengers? Are you an escalator passenger? Is that what it's called if you're riding an escalator? Are you the passenger? Please don't tell me. Two, action movies use this in a lot of chase scenes in malls and airports. The hero will be running from the bad guy and have to go up a down escalator or vice versa. It's very tense because they're inconveniencing the passengers. Is that what they're called? Still not sure on that terminology. Three, in 2013, Marilyn Vosavant, the smartest person in the world, answered a question about whether it takes more work to go up a down escalator or down an up escalator. And the person who wrote it in said she's writing it in and asking because her teenage boys were arguing about it at the dinner table. Marilyn Vosavant said that going down is probably easier because of gravity. But then she said a lot of stuff about how much energy teenage boys have, and I'm not sure she's really the smartest person in the world anymore. Four, someone on Quora in 2015 asked if it is even possible to, quote, climb up an escalator that is going down. The answer that was given is that it is possible, but that it takes more work and, quote, inconveniences anyone trying to use it for downward motion, and they embedded a video of someone doing it, and the video crashed my browser. 5. I'm going to use my extensive knowledge of human history and behavior to state that going in the wrong direction on the escalator is poor etiquette, and it might get you in trouble with security, but is nothing to involve the police in. The Cubs are preparing to rush the escalators again when mall security gets involved. Mall security is portrayed by a bear with a handlebar mustache, wearing a green crushed velvet jacket with a pink flower in the buttonhole. He witnesses the shenanigans going on, gets on his walkie-talkie, and the cops burst onto the scene. That's right. This is a level one step into reading book with only about 4 words per page, when all of a sudden a visibly angry police officer rushes through the door of the mall, followed by a bear who is wearing a sign on her purple tracksuit that says teacher and who looks like she's about to vomit. The Cubs are presumably, because we don't see this happen, roughly rounded up, forced to line up in a weirdly disjointed alternating color pattern, and made to get on their school bus. The teacher is very angry. The cop and the security guard are smug, and the last page is just the bus driving away. That's it. No narration, nothing. The Cubs get in trouble. Period. Why were they at the mall in the first place? Why weren't they being supervised? Why was their teacher with the cop? Why is the teacher wearing a sign on a chain around her neck that just says teacher? Is this actually a math book? What is it teaching? Is this just the Berenstains working out their frustrations about unsupervised kids playing on the escalator? What a weird thing to dedicate an entire book to. Or is it? Yes, it is. It's a weird thing. And that's the Berenstain Bears go up and down. It's a level one step into reading book. It's step one. Now, the thing to note with this book is that the bear family, they ain't in it. There's no bear family. There's no mama. There's no papa. There's no sister. There's no brother. This is just rando bear cubs, a rando police officer, a rando teacher, and a rando security guard who looks a lot like, I don't know, Mr. Smock, maybe? Maybe this, after he got fired from another school, he had to get a job at the mall? I don't know. But I'm convinced that this story, the Berenstain Bears go up and down, is running concurrent with the Berenstain Bears go to the big mall. Because this is the mall, and we don't see the bear family. So they're most likely in Big Bear City. This is not Bear Town. This has to be Big Bear City. And I guess in Big Bear City, you know, anything can happen. They're ready for anything. And the cops always get involved. Kids on the stairs, call the cops. It's a tricky situation there in Big Bear City. You never know what's going to happen. Can't let those kids run rampant. Can't let those kids run riot. Got to wait on the green velvet lapel flower twisty mustached security guard to snitch on the Cubs, who are just having fun going up and down the escalators. But that is the Berenstain Bears Go Up and Down from 1999. Step into reading. You can get a copy of it. You can get a copy of it digitally. You can get a copy of it used. You can get a copy of it in that Berenstain Bears collection that I got, Tales from Bear Country. That one's out of print. That's definitely out of print, but you like they have it. You can buy it online for like a dollar. Like there's used copies of that just floating around. If you want it, pick it up. It's not great, but it's amusing, and it's got that weird police ending. Like it's literally basically just like Big Bear, Small Bear, any of those books where it's just like bears on wheels, like any of the books that's just a counting book, just like kind of repetitive pictures back and forth, and then the cops get called. It makes no sense, but it elevates this book a little bit, and I'm kind of amused by it. So do you need to buy a copy of it? Sure, go right ahead. Pick up a copy. I love it. I love everything. I love all of you. Speaking of loving all of you, if you love me, why don't you check out patreon.com/deepinbearcountry. You sign up there, you become a patron for as little as $1 a month, but please feel free to give me as much a month as you like, because this show actually costs money and I'm the only one doing anything on it. If you like the show, you can show your financial support. Help keep me in Berenstain Bear books, which I have to buy in order to do the show. Little as dollar a month, and what do you get? You get several things, but the big thing is you get access to my entire set of bonus episodes. I try to do a bonus episode pretty much once a week, sometimes like 3 episodes a month, but there's bonus episodes floating around out there. And this week, there is a bonus episode for the Berenstain Bears Go Up and Down Nelvana Treehouse episode. Yes, the PBS series did have a episode called The Berenstain Bears Go Up and Down. Is it anything like this book? Does it take place in the mall? Does it involve an escalator? Is it involve 20 bears you've never seen before? Do the cops get involved? Does a teacher get involved? Does a weirdo security guard get involved? I am not going to tell you. The only way to find out is to become a patron. Patreon.com/deepinbearcountry and find out. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for everything. Even if you aren't a patron, I love you. I love you all. You're so great. It's so great to know that I have people out there listening. This is such a weird show to do. Yeah, I was just rehearsing my solo show, my stage show of Deep in Bear Country just today. And I stopped halfway through and I was like, this is really weird. Like, I even say that. Like, in my show, I'm like, it's really strange that I have a show about the Berenstain Bears. But it just struck me while I was doing it. I'm like, this is really weird. I am going very soon now. It'll be my 5-year anniversary. 5 years of doing this. 5 years of talking about the Berenstain Bears. Can you believe it? Can you believe? If you believe, raise your hand. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for listening. And I will see you all next time deep in Bear Country.